bad luck, they're coming back up at the end, so we're going to end this right. Before I begin this morning, I wish to convey my gratitude to this church body. Some of you may not have known this, but at the beginning of November, the pastors and staff were blessed with pastor appreciation gifts, and I've always known this church to be a giving church and a sacrificing church, but I can write letters, but I think it's better to express gratitude publicly. So I first want to thank you for that, and then through the Christmas season, you have showered the pastoral staff and the support staff with gifts and financial blessings, and I just want to say thank you on behalf of the entire pastoral staff, and I believe we all feel that, right, guys? And so we thank you. I don't take it for granted. My family doesn't take it for granted. So I just wanted to communicate that this morning. A true New Year's resolution. Everybody say that with me. A true New Year's resolution. You know, before we get to that, it's a special day. It's New Year. It's 2023. We're probably all groggy because we watched the ball drop at midnight. But something happened 2 years ago on New Year's Day. And it's my little daughter's second birthday. And so this is awesome. She doesn't understand it right now, but she will always have the day off for her birthday, which is rare. And that's great. And so I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty of how this happened. She was actually supposed to be due later in the month of January in 2021. But she came at 12:07 a.m. So we celebrated a little bit differently New Year's Day a couple years ago. And she was the firstborn in central Indiana. And so one thing Stacy and I did not anticipate when we were having our firstborn is that all the local news stations would want to interview us, and Stacy looks at me, and you've seen women who've just given birth. She's like, she was gorgeous, everybody, wow. But she forgot her makeup bag, and she let me know that, and she's like, I don't want the cameras in here, I don't want the news reporters in here. And so fun fact, if you get bored later today, have nothing to do, Google Annie Noel Claus, and you will find a whole bunch of news articles. You will find local interview. I sounded like an idiot on one television station. They were interviewing us, and I was trying to sound super spiritual. Stacy had already taken what I wanted to say, and I panicked. So I was like, hands to serve and a mouth to speak. Something stupid like that. So look it up. It's funny. But because of the festivity of the holiday, right, the Clauses had Baby New Year, and her name is Annie Noel. We did that very intentionally, and the Associated Press picked up on the story, and so when you Google her, you'll see little snips of newspapers who have published that, anywhere from San Antonio to Los Angeles. Little Annie was famous, and so I would just wish to say happy birthday to my daughter. I can do that because I'm speaking today. So if you see her, just wish her a happy birthday. Her favorite thing are little beaded necklaces, if you want to get that for her. She's like a little octopus holding her treasure. She screams when we take it away. So I love my daughter. Happy birthday, Annie. But a true New Year's resolution. You know, on the onset of this new year, we always talk about what our resolutions are. And I want to know, what are some of your New Year's resolutions? And this isn't just like a facetious question. Like, what are some of your New Year's resolutions, church? Don't make them. I like that. You can hold on to that. Yeah. Don't make them. Surely somebody's say, wake up on time. I like that. Lose weight. How many of you lose weight? Not just New Year's resolution, but every day, right? Yeah. Well, we all have several New Year's resolutions. And to be honest with you, 2 weeks from now, I pass Jack's Donuts every day on the way to work. I'm probably going to cave on some of those New Year's resolutions, right? But I do think it's a great opportunity. One of the blessings of having a new year rung in is a chance to examine ourselves. And I think that's what resolutions are, kind of like the end product, or at least the ideal goal of that. We take into account who we are, where we've been and what we want to be, better versions of ourselves. And so I'm not surprised to hear, like, I want to be on time more. I want to lose weight. I want to be more present with my family. I wish to communicate more. And I know all of you hope my resolution is that I will send text messages quicker than I do today, because it's usually 7 to 10 business days before you hear from me. And so whatever your resolution is, that's the end goal, to better yourself than you were before, to do better than you did before. And as I was praying over this time that we have together, thinking about how unique an opportunity it is, not only just to celebrate the birth of Jesus on Christmas Sunday last week, but then the very next week to ring in the new year, what is my hope? What is my prayer, individually and corporately, for the body of AFC? What resolution that can be achieved and is biblical? Now, I call this thing over here, you may have seen these signs pop up in the last month, I call this the Pyramid of Greatness. Dr. Joe and I and Carrie worked together to develop this in December, and it's a visualization of what we already know to be true in the life of AFC. Worship is the top priority, amen? Nothing can happen. The Lord will not move unless we give him our first fruits and worship him, amen? And then we go that middle tier is discipleship, and then finally on the bottom is service. And so worship was this word that the Lord kept bringing me back to. And then when I'm thinking about New Year's and resolution and becoming better versions of ourselves, I'm not saying that we're bad, but where can we grow in 2023? The Lord just kept bringing to mind to me worship. In fact, everybody say that word, worship. And you know, in Scripture, the most fundamental, natural, and appropriate way we can show our gratitude to the Lord is through worship. And you know what? If you don't know what worship is, I'm going to give you a definition. Worship is our response to what we value the most. Let's say that together. Worship is our response to what we value the most. And worship is literally what we were created to do. It's innate within us. It's woven in the very fabric of our design. We fundamentally are creatures of worship. And so the question becomes, what do we worship? Because the fact of the matter is, we all worship something. And whether you realize it or not this morning, church, your love is going to somewhere or to something. It may not always be God, but your love is going somewhere or something. And so this morning, we're going to walk through the story of three kings. And if you were here last year, you know that I preached on the three wise men. We're not going to talk about that. We're actually going back to the Old Testament this morning. And we're going to talk about three Old Testament kings and what they can teach us about the value of worship. So we start with King David. Everybody say King David. We all know and love King David, right? We know that he was a man after God's own heart. Like, he was a leader. He was a warrior. He was a step above the rest. And it was through humility that the Lord exalted him. But we don't often talk about some of the other aspects. You know, we do men's leadership studies over the life of King David because he was just this stud of a dude. But he also had a very artistic side, right? Like, he played instruments, and he was actually a very prolific writer. And the majority of the book of Psalms was written by King David, which is the largest book in our Bible. And a lot of the chapters in that book deal with how God wants to be worshipped. And so this is a little mini challenge for you guys just for the year. If you're looking to understand how God likes to be worshipped a little bit better in 2023, I would encourage you to start with the book of Psalms, because David has a lot to say, too much for the time that we have this morning, about what worship is. But he was a prolific writer, and we understand that David made some pretty bad mistakes in his life, right? Like, if you just ask Uriah the Hittite, he'll tell you, okay? But ultimately, David kept chasing after the heart of God, and he actually lived his life as an act of worship to God. So that's King David. We move on to his son, King Solomon, okay? And he started out well. He was following in his father's footsteps, and he was the one who committed to building the most beautiful temple for God that the world has ever known. And so from the riches of his father that was left behind to Solomon, he created the following, and this is where we get into scripture. This message is going to be based in 2 Chronicles 9, and we're going to be hopping around a little bit, but it's based in 2 Chronicles 9, starting in verse 15 and going through 16. This is what the scripture says. King Solomon made 200 large shields of beaten gold. Now stop and actually picture that. 200 large decorative shields of gold. And it goes on, it says, 600 shekels of beaten gold went into each shield. And he made 300 shields, so he already has 200 large shields. He makes an additional 300 shields of beaten gold, and 300 shekels of gold, so they're a little bit smaller, of gold went into each shield. And so I'm not great at math, but I did a little bit of math, okay? And so the large shields were about 15 pounds each when you go through all the calculations. And then the smaller shields were about 7.5 pounds each. And so the amount that an ounce of gold was worth this week was about $1,467.40, okay? So just track with me because I'm going to blow your minds here in just a second. Currently, the larger shields, right, the 200 larger shields would be worth a whopping $70,435,200. I wish Solomon would tithe here. And then the smaller shields would be worth a grand total of $52,826,400. So the grand total totals to be $123,261,600. I can't imagine that. Like, that's insane. But it was not the monetary value alone that made them so valuable, church. Because in reality, it represented and reflected the glory and the honor and the dignity and ultimately the worship of God in his temple. We can get distracted by that monetary value, but in my heart, I don't think that they were built just because they were rich. It was because they were giving God the best of what they had, right? So what were they trying to communicate through this? It's simply put, it stated that God is first and greatest. So it was Solomon's decisions about his wealth and women that ultimately derailed him. Now I'm going to give you some more numbers that are going to blow your mind, okay? Most of us have one wife. I hope if you're married, you only have one wife. Otherwise, let's talk after service because I got some things to say. Solomon did not adhere to that. Solomon had 300 wives. I don't even know how the man functioned. 300. I love you, honey. But 300 of you, we've got a lot done, I think. But then on top of that, you think 300, and then this is shady. Solomon had an additional 700 concubines, a grand total of 1,000 women in his life. Do you think Solomon was distracted? The church said, yes, amen. He was distracted. That is reflected in where his heart was, church. His heart ultimately went away from his God. What started out as a good continuation, a good inheritance, turned sour because his heart ultimately went away from his Lord. And so God determined to take the kingdom from Solomon because of this. So King David, King Solomon, we finally fall to King Rehoboam. Everybody say King Rehoboam. King Rehoboam. And so in 2 Chronicles 12, just a couple chapters later, it shares that this king, King Rehoboam, abandoned the Lord his God, and the people followed him. So this is an interesting study in leadership, and it grieves our hearts, but he was such a convincing leader, and his heart turned away from the Lord that he actually moved the whole nation away from the one true God. And the thing you need to know about Rehoboam, it was all about image. Everything was about image. And so he continued to go into the temple, and he continued to worship. And it really wasn't worship. It was actually just him making himself look holy to the people, even though he had led the heart of the nation away from the Lord their God. He kept up with appearances so that he could still continue to keep favor with his people. So eventually the people revolted. They kind of caught on to what Rehoboam was doing, and a civil war broke out. And this is where we pick up in scripture. And so we say, so Shishak, that's a fun name. Everybody say Shishak. Shishak. Shishak sells seashells by the seashore. Say that three times fast, right? So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took everything away. He also took away the shields that we learned about in Solomon, with Solomon, the shields of gold that Solomon had made. So stop right there. One would think, after a defeat like that, that Rehoboam's heart would be convinced to repent and turn back to the Lord. But actually, he doubled down on the way he behaved. So picking back up, and King Rehoboam made in their place shields of bronze and committed them to the hands of the officers of the guard who kept the door of the king's house. And as often as the king went into the house of the Lord, the guard came and carried them and brought them back to the guard room. Now, did you pick up what happened right there? Those shields that were worth all that money and ultimately weren't even about the money, but the reflection of the honor and the glory of God, were stolen. And he had bronze replicas made. So the people had their hearts distracted, and there was a shift, okay, in the priorities. Those priorities did not include God. So in their spiritual weakness, church, an outside enemy came and stole that which reflected and represented the honor and the glory of God, only for the people to replace that with cheap, artificial substitutes that were required to be polished with human effort so that they could keep up an image that there is an intimate relationship with their Lord. Now, I ask you this, is this not a clear picture of many of us today? How many of us substitute the real thing for something that we can just keep up with appearances? Something that is cheap. Something that is counterfeit. Something that is not authentic worship to our God. We're quick to judge Rehoboam, but every single one of us are capable of doing what King Rehoboam does. Is that not a clear picture of us today, church? Have we gotten so distracted in our hearts of things that don't matter? How many church arguments do we endure about the things that don't matter? Some of us have even adopted a cheap substitute for the real thing when it comes to authentic worship of our God. And I'm right up here listening to the words that I'm saying to you. I'm no better than you. We've all done it. But remember, it wasn't that Rehoboam wasn't a worshiper. It's very clear. We all worship something or someone. It was that he just worshiped himself. He put himself above the things that mattered. So the truth is, we all worship something, and worship is our response to what we value most. So the question becomes this morning, and this is what I want to answer, is what is at the top of your list to worship? In 2023, what do you worship? you can reflect back on 2022 and take into account and take inventory about the priorities that mattered to you most. And a lot of us, a lot of the time, can't say that it was true, authentic worship to God. Now, I want to be clear on something. God doesn't mind that you enjoy things, right? God created things for us to enjoy. It only becomes a problem when they supersede him. And this is what happened in the life of King Rehoboam. He allowed his image and his prestige and his wealth and his desires to trump that of authentic worship to God. So Romans 1:21 through 23 says this: "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools." Is that not a picture of us today? "And exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." So what's the object of your worship today, church? Because Romans 1, 21 through 23 is a clear picture of our society and our culture today. Wouldn't you agree? Claiming to be wise, they became as fools. And the things that were right, they shunned for the things that were wrong. And they placed idols before the one true God. What are some of the idols that we place above the one true God? Again, God is not against the things that we enjoy. But when it supersedes him and we pour all of our energy and time and resources and wherewithal, that's when it becomes the problem. Deuteronomy 6:14 through 15 says, "You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you, for the Lord your God is in your midst. It is a jealous God." So God is simply looking at us this morning, and he sees the object of our worship, and I know he has some questions for us. "I wish you would rearrange your life for me," says the Lord. I wish that you would get that excited for the things of me the way that you do the things of fill in the blank. What do you spend most of your energy on? What does your mind inhabit the most? And if it's not God, God is saying, why don't you put that much effort and energy into me? Why don't you come 4 hours early or stay and serve at the community center or do some form of service or discipleship or ultimately the most important worship for me the way that you do fill in the blank or get that excited for me? And so I've kind of deduced that there are 4 big idols that we've got to work through as a church that inhibit us from true, authentic worship this morning. The first is my pride. Say, my pride. Are we a prideful people? Some of you are too proud to admit that, I understand. Yeah, my pride. It's in your heart to worship God. I believe you probably wouldn't be here if that weren't the case. It's in your heart to worship God. But you're worried about what other people are going to think of you. You look to your neighbor at either end of the row. You see the people in front and in back, the people in your family, close friends who maybe don't believe the way that you do. And you're worried about what they're going to think. I don't want to be one of those spiritual fanatics. I don't want to be one that kind of flops and is known for their wild antics and just crazy, what I wouldn't even call worship, but just like theatrics. And we're worried about what people are going to think of us, even when we have a heart of worship to God. So God is in the room, but my mind isn't even there thinking about that because I'm too focused on what other people think about me. We've all been there. And it inhibits us from worship, my pride. And so what happens is worship is stolen and pride is substituted. Is that true of Rehoboam? Yes. Let that not be so of us. So Scripture says in John 12:42 through 43, "Nevertheless, even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. Listen to this. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Let that not be so of us in 2023, AFC. Let us lay aside our pride. Let us be uninhibited in our worship. Number two, everybody say, my feelings. Now, this is a fun one to talk about because the church has two schools of thinking on this, and I tend to be of the more conservative mindset. And I talked about this if you were here for Christmas in July. We were talking about our feelings. And today we live in a society that is dominated by our feelings. Would you agree? It's how I feel. It's not the truth, but it's what I feel so strongly, what I believe. It is my truth, and don't judge because it's my truth. You can have your truth, but that, you know, that's how I feel. And as a result, a lot of us have allowed our feelings to dictate how we operate. And our feelings try to define reality. And it's great to feel these different things when you feel your worship is going well, but it's in those crisis moments when there's doubt, when there's depression, when there's skepticism. And listen, church, your feelings will lead you astray. Do not trust your feelings because they will eventually lead you down the wrong path. The Lord has given us the truth. It is written in his word, personified through Jesus Christ. And if it's contrary to your feelings, don't follow them. I'm not saying you're not allowed to feel, but have enough discernment with your feelings. You just say, that's not my personality, Joey. I'm not an excitable person. I've seen some of you at sporting events, okay? Right? I hear that. My youth group went to a hockey game. I've never seen these kids like Caleb and Noah. They're nuts. It's like a gladiator match, and they're just jumping up and, yeah! God wants that of us. Read the book of Psalms. With the tremble and dance, worship him in his place. Be excited about him. Don't give me crap. Right? Oh, it's just not how I am. It's not who I am, Joey. I'm quiet. I'm meek. Okay, shut up. No. Right? That's what the Lord wants of us. What about God's personality? How does God feel about this? He reveals it through the book of Psalms. And again, that's my challenge to you. We can't convey all of it today. So listen, we don't communicate our love through the love language we identify with our spouse, but rather the love language that they identify with. I'll tell you something, maybe not really crossing a line. My love language, would you say, Stacy, is physical touch, right? But her love language is not. Her acts of service and quality time. So when I try to love Stacy with nothing but physical touch, she doesn't feel that reciprocated near as much as she would quality time and acts of service. Are you jiving with me? So we don't just worship God the way that we receive love, but we worship our God through the ways that he tells us. Everyone track with that? Okay. I just want to make sure you're understanding that. That's why we call it a worship service, by the way. It's not about feelings, but it's rather God is the audience. And we're participating. Acting in service and worshiping him through our obedience, our giving, and our praise. God is the only audience that we're seeking to please in worship. Third, my mental absence. Everybody say that. My mental absence. When you think that just showing up is enough, my body is there, so it must count. How, like, listen, I know a lot of you aren't preachers. I see your faces, whether you realize it or not. And some of you are mentally absent some of the time. And I'm not going to look at anyone in particular, but y'all look like a dead fish sometimes on Sunday morning when we're supposed to be giving it our all. Your mental absence. You're physically here, but maybe you're not mentally and spiritually here. But we have to participate in it for it to be worship, church. We have to give and sacrifice. And listen, only you can give God your love. Some of you spouses are dragged to church because your other spouse is like, we got to go. Your spouse cannot give God your love. Only you can give your God your love. And men, especially leaders of the family, it's time that you step up to the plate. It's time that you stop being mentally absent, even if you're physically here, and you lead your family in worship this morning. That is what we are called to do. Worship is love expressed. James 4:8 says this, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You've got to make the move. And some of you are like, I'm waiting for God to move. God has already moved. God has already moved through the season that we just celebrated, Emmanuel, God with us. Fully God and fully man, lived a life like one of us, and ultimately sacrificed his love on a cross that we could have eternal relationship with him. And it's something that you can even fathom or imagine. So he's made the move. God is waiting for you to make your move. So Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So simply put, my mental absence, what a tragedy it would be for Jesus to be so close. Do you miss him? You're here, but you miss it. My mental absence. And then finally, my tradition. Everybody see my tradition? This one can get tricky with church folk, okay? You love me. You're going to extend my contract even though I'm about to say the things I'm going to say. Jeff Bolt is shaking his head, no, I'm concerned. Religious traditions. Everybody say that with me. Religious traditions. How many of you know that your traditions can actually get in the way of your worship to God? If we're being gut level honest this morning, I've heard some people say, and this isn't particularly the case at AFC because look at the space that we're in this morning, that they'd never be able to attend a church in an old strip mall or at a coffee shop. But God does not inhabit man-made structures. He inhabits the praise and the adoration of his people. You can worship no matter where you were at this morning. Matthew 15:1-3 says this, the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? Are we guilty of that? Probably. For they do not wash their hands when they eat. Jesus answered them, and this is kind of like a mic drop, right? He answered them, why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? Convicting. If you start to adore your tradition more than your God, it becomes a problem. If you exalt, even if it's of nostalgic value, your tradition, the kinds of songs that we sing, the stupid paint colors, the kinds of doors that we install, right? Like the ministries that the Lord is calling us to. If you're finding that there's friction between that and your tradition, you need to let your tradition go. God is moving in a new and a fresh way, and we've got to drop the chains that hold us back because there are people out there who are lost and dying and need the love of Jesus in their life. Right? And it's time we forsake our traditions. And I'm not saying you can't enjoy things, right? We've already said that. But when they supersede the mission, you've got to re-examine. Amen? Okay. Am I still on staff? That's great. So what's my main point this morning? My main point. Worship is giving God something he does not have. Everybody say that with me. Worship is giving God something he does not have. If there was a chapter in the book of Psalms that I'd point you to start out. It'd be Psalm 50. It communicates that God has everything, but it's the matter of the heart that matters to him. And that seemingly doesn't make sense. I just said that God has everything. But did you know that God willingly gave up something? He gave us free will on purpose. He has everything, but he gave something away so you and I could offer it back to him voluntarily. He's not designed us to be robots with free will when it comes to worship. So the question becomes, what does God want? Like, what does God really want? He's looking for you to worship him with sincere affection this morning, church. He doesn't want just some of you. He wants all of you. He wants your whole heart. He wants you to offer him control, entire and whole of your life. And some of us need to take our relationship with God to the next level. And we all have a next step to take. But stop casually dating God, but lusting with others behind his back, whatever your idol is. Let us not fall into the pitfall of Solomon and Rehoboam. Let us reject our prides in 2023. Let us reject our feelings, our mental absence, and our religious tradition. And let's include him in our everyday life. It's a habitual lifestyle. And I'm talking practically teens. I'm talking practically young adults. I'm talking practically senior citizens. How do you do this? Practically. Put the Lord first and foremost in every situation. The text messages that you send. The social media that you eat. You're driving. Some of you probably lost your sanctification through your anger on the road, okay? In your school, in your commutes, in your marriage. When you have trouble, who are you going to call? Not Ghostbusters. Jesus. Everybody say that. Jesus. Yes. Call on the Lord. So worship team, come back up. We're going to end this in worship. What God really wants is an authentic relationship with us. And I can't help but to reflect in my own life places of growth that I can see need to take place in 2023. That's why I'm saying, I hear what I'm saying too. If I'm being honest, I could love a little bit better in 2023. I could love my wife and my family a little bit better. I can lay aside my pride and obey the nudging of God in the areas where I feel like I've rejected him in 2022. Sometimes I'm on autopilot too. I think a lot of us are on Sunday morning. Hey, how are you? Good. And we just keep going. Let us be keenly aware to the community of believers and their needs. And through prayer and supplication, lift one another up. And I'm just telling you, if you have a bad attitude towards certain things in the church, what we're trying to do, I would say, surrender those feelings. Surrender some of your tradition. Offer your life as an act of worship to the Lord. And so we're going to just sing a couple songs. And I really don't want you to be mentally absent. Listen to the lyrics. Allow them to stir your heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to move among us. And just like Abby said at the beginning of the service, this next little bit is just worship. And I want you to be released from the chains. Be released of the chains of your pride. And if you need to work some things out with the Lord to start off the new year, there's no better time to do it. The Holy Spirit splash zone. That's what I call the front row. Nobody ever sits there. But maybe we could just turn this into an altar for a little bit. If you feel a stirring, if you feel motivated to change, make a bold declaration before the community of believers. Just come and offer your life as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Still, some of you can worship from where you're at. You can make your chair a personal altar this morning and talk to God. He wants an authentic relationship with you, and there are things that we need to release in this space this morning. If you feel so stirred to stand and to raise your hands, no one's going to judge you. This is the place, perhaps better than any other, to do it, where people won't judge you. And let's start 2023 the way that we need to, with a true, authentic resolution that today, this body declared, it's all about you, Jesus. We're coming back to the heart of worship.
Stripped away, and I simply
As the band continues to play, I think there's no better way to end a service like this. We've worshiped, but I want us to end on a declaration of praise. And so we're going to sing that again, but I'm going to invite you to stand and make this your prayer in 2023. The Lord is calling us back to the heart of worship, and these are beautiful lyrics. So I invite the band and Abby to lead us one more time in this chorus.
Coming back to the heart.
Thank you for the sweet presence we feel. Lord, we feel you moving within our midst, and we just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for bringing us through 2022. The highs and the lows, the circumstances in our control and the circumstances out of our control. Jesus, you were there with us through it all, and we offer our worship as a thanksgiving to you this morning. Lord, inhabit the praise of your people. May it be a sweet sound to your ear, and thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the lessons that we can glean from, and help it to motivate us to change and to grow closer to you in this season. And God, may we call our hearts individually and corporately back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. May this be the best year yet for our faith and for our church. We declare it in your name today, Jesus. And all God's people said in a thunderous tone, amen and amen.